Hey, it's an amazing day to be in the house of God. And I don't know about you, but every time I see weather like this, it reminds me of the lyrics by David Crowder that says, you know, I am a tree bending beneath the weight of your mercy. And it just kind of shows me how big God is, you know, to be able to, with the breath, just blow the trees apart and do what he does best. Amen. Firstly, I'd like to thank Pastor Stephen and Anami for this amazing opportunity. Hey, I'm glad to be standing here under their leadership, planted in the house of God. It's very important to be planted, and I'm glad that God has placed me here. Before I start, who here loved the worship song, Find Me? It's you know what is really amazing about that song? It says, Find Me Faithful. So the Jen Johnson is singing this out, and she's like, Find Me Faithful. God, when Jesus, when you come, find me faithful. And it's funny that she says, Find Me Faithful, for faithful means reliable, steadfast, unwavering in loyalty and truth. But what is really interesting about Find Me Faithful is that this is the nature of God. You know, like Pastor Stephen said in Exodus 34, 6 and 7, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. This is God's nature. It's the same thing in Psalms 136, you know, with every word, with every line, the psalmist says his love endures forever. It's the same in Psalm 86, in 136. The same in Jonah 4:2. When he was running to Tarshish, he says, you know, because I know that your love is abounding, that you are merciful. And it's interesting because we're called to be Christ-like. And it's simply saying that in our innate nature, our ability to be human is we're called to be like God. We're called to share in his nature. We're called to be like him. We're called to be reliable, steadfast, unwavering in loyalty and truth, not only to him, but to his people. Amen? So the message today is about being planted, making the choice. At C3 Fremantle, we believe the house of God is a place to belong, a place to be planted, and a place to become all that God has purposed you to be. Earlier this year, we focused on what it is to belong. And to belong basically means to know that you are loved, to know that because Christ died for you, when you receive him as your Lord and Savior, that you're on this constant journey of being transformed like him, that God sees you as important. Even before you look at yourself as a sinner or anything else, it is very important to know that God sees you as his son, as his children, because Christ died before we were even born, before any of us was born, Christ died for us. And that is the sense of belonging that we spoke about in the start of this year. To belong is to know that we are loved, we are first loved, we are first a child of God, and we are whole, that there's nothing that we can be better than because we are already transforming to be like the best Christ-like. Discovering that God never intended for us to journey alone, but to dwell in his presence with authentic kingdom community. You know, there's a scripture that talks about iron sharpens iron. You know, when iron comes together and rubs against each other, there's friction, there's heat, there's sparks. But guess what? It sharpens. It becomes better. That's what a community is where people of different abilities who come and sometimes offend, sometimes challenge, sometimes annoy. But what that does is enables us to become better in our life. Pastor Nami last week spoke about discipleship and how we need to be discipling people in every aspect of their life. Not only saying words that please them, but edifying them in all aspects of their life. So I know I share a lot of conversations with Suresh and I look up to him. He's a lot more, he's older than I am, firstly, but he's also a lot more wiser and calmer than I am. I'm a little bit on the reactive, you know. And he sometimes says things that I get really offended by. Like, I'm like, dude, it's really, like, what? You really want me to do this? But you know what? Looking back at it, right, I would rather have it that way, where he calls out the things within me so God doesn't have to deal with them and I deal with them. Because we know that when God deals with the things which we have not dealt with, it often comes with a bit of, you know, pull and tug and stuff. And, you know, then it's like always pushes us a little bit backwards and then forwards and stuff. But when you disciple somebody and they call out the things within you, it is a good way for you to reflect and react and change yourself and adapt.
like I said, iron sharpens iron. Our goal together is to be more Christ-like. So as we move into this next season, we want to intentionally explore what it means to be planted in the house of God. Who here likes plants? Anybody? Plants? Yeah? So for everybody that does not like plants, or probably like my wife, grows plants and kills them. I'm just kidding. She's extremely busy. She's looking after our two amazing children. And I'm the one who runs away and says, I've got to prune the trees, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. But as we're going to be exploring what it is to mean. So we're going to read through Psalms 1, 1 and 3. Where it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Or it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So, Father, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for everybody that's gathered here, that everybody that is planted in your house, Lord. I just pray, O Father, for your spirit upon them right now. It says where two or three are gathered, that is where you are. And so I pray, O Father, that as I speak, it is not me, but it is you, O Father, that there's an overflowing of your spirit and there's an overflowing of your presence for us to dig deeper, to know what it truly means to be planted in the house of God. Amen. Amen. Now, that being said, I'm going to say this, that to be planted, and the message that I'm about to share is for all ages. So it doesn't matter what stage in life you are, how old you are, how young you are. It is for all ages. And I'll explain that a bit more further. The Bible also talks extensively about being planted in the house of God. There's about 39 to 45 scriptures that talk about being planted in the house of God. And today, we're going to be looking at three aspects of being planted. Number one, death, the seed. Number two, the soil, the church nurtured by the water of the Holy Spirit. And number three, the fruit, the journey of abundance moving to increase. It's very important as a Christian that we understand why Jesus wants us to be planted in the house of God. Do you know, the funny thing about Christianity is that Christianity is not about following Christ according to our own expectations. We cannot follow Christ based on what we expect to happen next. As simple as the first step we take when we follow him into the unknown, we follow him into the reliability that he's worked all things for the good of us who are following him. And I'm going to start with this word called death, the seed. It's the most simplest of things we learn as a Christian, and it involves choosing Christ over everything in our life. When we choose to get baptized, we receive him as our Lord and Savior, and baptism signifies the symbolic being dead with Christ and being resurrected with him, where we choose him in every aspect of our life. We choose him to go before us. We choose him as our Lord, our Savior, and our Master. The last one is the funniest, because when we choose him as our Master, it means we submit to the will of him that we have entrusted as a Master. Do you know when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, take this cup away from me. But he shows us what it is to submit to the Master, because he looked at God the same way we look at Jesus as our Master. And he said, but not mine, but your will be done. And we see this in Psalms 84:10, where the psalmist writes, for a day in your court is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. And it's interesting that he uses the tent, the analogy of the tent, and he uses the analogy of the house almost as the temporary nature of the tent, you know? Almost as when Jesus said that you are this rock, the strong foundation, that, you know, he is the cornerstone of something that is permanent. And when the psalmist writes, he's similarly emphasizing on the temporary pleasures of the world. Some, or like all of them, which are so shallow, it eventually requires us moving place to place without securing our identity. Because we're always focused on adapting. Because we all of us know that if I went to a new park with my child, the first thing I do is look at all the dangers, right? I never really enjoy looking at my child playing. I never really enjoy him coming down and laughing. All I'm thinking about is, oh, what's... And if I keep doing that again and again and again and again, I never really enjoy the moments that I have with my child. So guess what? There's only one park I take Joseph to. That's Pirate Park. There's only one walk. We go down the beach from there and we come out the beach from behind Pirate Park. And that's it. Because I know that there is nothing dangerous that can affect him. And I know where he's going to go and what he's going to do. He compares this by saying that a day in your the day standing at your doorpost or spending a day following Jesus is better than anything the world has to offer. Because that is the price that we pay for eternity, is following Jesus. And like Pastor Stephen said, you know, correct me, I forgot about it. I just had it and I went blank. It's about all teams lose, but you always win with God, you know? That when you choose to be planted in the house of God, guess what? Your life transforms. But it transforms forward. That your walk with Christ is always a forward walk. It can never be a stationary walk. Because, you know, when you're stationary, it means you're moving backwards. It actually means you're moving backwards. Because the world will always move forward. And your walk with Christ, the walk of transformation, is always a walk forward. I know that, and I know this, because my life transformed in the house of God. You know, a testimony that I have of my life is very simple. When I used to pray, somebody that annoyed me or offended me, I used to look at them as the problem. And I was like, oh man, this person, you know, take them out, you know, whatever. And my prayers were that, you know, I was like, God, you've rescued the Israelites from the Egyptians, and you know, you've done that. That is my Egypt. That fellow is my Egypt. He's my Pharaoh. Can you please take him out of my life? Realizing that Christ died for that person was the biggest transformation that I had in my life. To realize that Christ died for each and every one in this world was what transformed my life. And it was only transformed in the house of God. And so my prayers changed. It says in 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 4, therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For all men. For kings and all who are in authority. That we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God, our Savior, who desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It doesn't say that we need to go and argue with them. It doesn't say that we need to tell them what is right and wrong. It doesn't say that we need to do something. All it says, the only doing that we need to do is to pray, to intercede, and to give thanks so that they can see our lives transformed and become more Christ-like and be attracted to the Christ, because each and every individual in this entire world is attracted to Christ. I was attracted to Christ, and I'm pretty sure each and every one of you was attracted to Christ. And the only way to achieve this is to choose each day, like the title of the message, to make a choice, is to choose each day to self-reflect and to bury the things that hold us from reaching our God-given purpose. You know, we had this incident on a Tuesday, was it? A Tuesday. And so I'm so glad that my wife is a little bit more, you know, sound when it comes to these things. And I'm like, ah. Oh. So Tuesday evening, she comes home and my daughter has a fever and we don't know what's up, right? And so Harriet then says, I'm going to take her to emergency. From emergency to Perth Children's Hospital. Long story short, I sat in the car driving to the hospital, and the only prayer I had was this, that she will not leave this earth without fulfilling all the purposes that you have for her in this life, that she will be a beacon of light, that she will impact people, touch lives, and be a living testimony of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is the only prayer that I prayed for her. And what I'm trying to tell you with this is that when you stand firm on the word of God, and planted in the house of God, your prayers start to change. They start to be more Christ-like. They start to be more based on love, based on forgiveness. And this journey starts with death, where we put our old self to death and are raised to life with Christ. We completely surrender ourselves to being transformed by Him. We now move to the next point, that is the soil nurtured by the water of the Holy Spirit. You know, when we decided to leave New Zealand, I remember this very clearly. I was at Rottnest, and we lived in New Zealand in Rotorua. I proposed to my wife. She took an awfully long time to say yes. And I'm so glad it was on the highest cliff in Rottnest. I was like, babe, if you'd said no, accidents happen, you know? But yeah, I remember coming back on that boat ride and walking through the city of Fremantle. And I still remember this because we both had very comfortable jobs, eh? I was in line to become a multiple store manager. The best part about my job is that every year I got a $6,000 worth of mountain bikes. You know, they just gave it to me. And they gave it to us so that we can trash it. And so we took it, we trashed it, we test ride it. And then next year, a new bike. She was working with plant innovation, getting the trees to shorten their growth time. So like from 20 years, they got it to about 7 years or something like that. And very comfortable with the church that we were placed in. Very complacent, I would say. However, God had other plans. He knew that my complacency needed to be put to death. And I would be planted in better soil so that what He has purposed for me in my life can be continued and I can continue to be transformed. Now, let me say this. The soil that I was planted in was extremely fertile soil. The church thriving, the youth ministry thriving, everything was really good. It still is. There's about 600 people that go through that church doors during the three services. But we all know, like plants, there's different pH levels. There's different kinds of soils. There's different manure. There's different times that we water them. And that was my story. That I required to be fruitful and not complacent. And so God picked me out from that church and placed me under Pastor Stephen and Anami in C3 Fremantle. Because like plants need different pHs and different soils, I needed a different place to be planted. I did not move because I was offended. I did not move because I needed a better life or Australia was the dream. I did not move for any other reason because on that journey in the city of Fremantle, I told my wife that God called us to be here in the city. She didn't believe me. And so she didn't want to move because she moved from Australia. She didn't want to move. And I'm like, babe, you got to apply. Until she applied for a job, which was her dream job as a teenager. They waited 6 months for us to reply yes or no. They paid for our tickets. They paid for my tickets. I was happy. You know, what is interesting is that it says in Isaiah 41, 9 and 10, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest region and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And that is what we placed our faith in and chose to be planted here in C3 Fremantle. Now that we have seen what it means to die to ourselves and what it is to be in soil, we look at the next point, which I feel is one of the most important points of this three. Because as Christians, we always make that decision to follow Christ. We get baptized. We choose for that soil, but then we never really see the fruit of that soil. Do you know a seedless fruit is a useless fruit? Do we all know that? A seedless fruit is a useless fruit. You can eat it, but you can't multiply it. A seeded fruit multiplies into many trees. Many trees give many seeded fruits that multiply into many trees. Your journey as a Christian starts in abundance. It doesn't lead to abundance. It leads to increase. To know that we are all fruits that have plenty seed within us when we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, and now it leads to increase. The psalmist in Psalm 92, 12 to 15 says this very specific thing. He says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. In old age, they will still bear fruit. Healthy and green, they will remain to proclaim, the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and in him there is no unrighteousness. We're all born with a God-given DNA. Just like a tomato seed that is so small, and all it knows when it's buried is to let go of its old self and soak up the nutrients from the soil that it is buried into. Eventually, it bears much fruit. We all know that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing not to use it in the fruit salad. But you know what is strange about a tomato plant? Because I've got black creme tomatoes. Now, the way I've done my tomatoes is that I found the biggest fruit, and the biggest fruit was about 630 grams, like one single tomato that was this big. And now I took out all the seeds from that because I know that that is the most fruitful seed, the fruitful fruit. And I've got about 13 tomatoes. They have now grown to be winter resistant. So they thrive in winter. They're really amazing. But you know, there's this strange thing that a tomato plant goes through when you repot it. It goes through this process that's called repotting shock. And I have a photo up there of the repotting shock. So that one is what happens when you repot a tomato. That's a tomato that's untouched. If you Google what repotting shock is, they say it's due to root disturbance, shift in light and temperature, or changing in the potting medium. This transplant shock can result in noticeable setbacks to plant growth and health. It takes a lot of time for that tomato to get back to where it is. And sometimes, if it's not done right, they end up dying. So when I moved from New Zealand to C3 Fremantle, I would have been 100% sure that I would have ended up probably in a repotting shock if it wasn't the move of God, if it wasn't God's voice that I heard clearly of him wanting me to be in C3 Fremantle. And the funny story was, at that point in moment, 2 years later, Pastor Unami was praying, and she was like, you know, we prayed for a youth leader in 2022 on this date, and we were blessed with the youth leader. I'm like, what? Wait, when? How? And I look back to my notes. That's exactly the time that I heard God calling me to Fremantle. I didn't know them. I didn't know anybody in this church. I had absolutely no idea who they were. But I had this constant hunger for coming to the city of Fremantle, to be part of the city, to permeate it with God's love. This repotting shock is what happens to Christians when they're not completely surrendered to the soil. And they keep being planted or replanted in different church and different church and different church, and you move and you move and you move. There's this term that I've heard a lot in life that's called church hurt. Has anybody heard of that church hurt stuff? Church hurt. Like, there's this thing where, you know, I've been hurt by this church, or this person said something to me, or I was ill-treated and blah, blah, blah. It's like saying, you know, Pastor Stephen, you had to wait for 6 hours in the emergency in a hospital, so now you never go to a hospital again. Or it's like saying you had a bad meal at a restaurant and you never go to restaurants again. There's no other way to put this, but when Jesus forgave those who crucified him, he was not particularly feeling the best. We can all agree on that, eh? He wasn't feeling the greatest. But in that moment, when people was standing there making fun of him, he didn't tell them that you need to apologize to me. You need to make me feel better. This is not something that you can do. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He chose to forgive us. He chose to go to the cross for us. And because he chose to do that and save us, there is no greater place to learn and transform ourselves than in the house of God amongst the people that he has placed us with, under the leaders that he has placed over us. Not everybody is perfect, but Jesus is. Amen. I can see a future preacher boy there. Let's go, Levi. Not everybody is perfect, but God is. And he chose to show us the path of perfection, forgiveness and love and grace. Do you know Jesus is often referred to as the bread of life? Give us our daily bread. He was born in Bethlehem. There's a multiple scriptures that refer to this term because Hebrew is alphanumerical, 490, perfection. Every time we forgive somebody, we offer them the bread of life. Every time we love somebody, we offer them the bread of life. Every time we love somebody, we offer them the bread of life. It is these deep-rooted connections of being planted in the house of God. And I love this image that comes up after this. You know, like the psalmist says, planted by the streams, who will bear much fruit in due time. It is these deep-rooted connections that withstand storms. This is how trees withstand storms. Not only because their roots run deep, but they're also intertwined with each other. So when the storm comes, one holds the other. It's an amazing point. And I was talking to Andrew, and this is what he mentioned. It's like, Bert, you know, you're talking about roots getting deeper. But if you actually read, it's also how they spread across the land and intertwine with each other. Is how, and I'm like, wow, that's actually really interesting. Because you're not only drawing from the deep well, but you're also sustaining yourself with the community that you're placed in. It's also in winters that keep these roots alive. When there's no leaves, it's the nutrients that these roots draw by staying connected to each other. Such is the same for being planted in a church. The longer you spend planted in the church, the deeper your roots grow, and the more stronger your connections get, enabling you to withstand the storm the enemy throws at you. And he will throw things at you. What does this mean for me? For me and my wife, for our family, the exchange of the cross means that there is nothing, no offense, that will ever make us uproot ourselves from the soil we are planted in. Because I know that there is nothing that can be done to me that will ever compare to what Jesus went through and conquered to save me. And it is the posture of forgiveness and grace that moves us to the next level. I make that choice. Love is a choice. It's not a feeling. If it was, Jesus wasn't feeling the best when he forgave. He chose. I choose to be planted each day. I choose to stay where God has planted me, learning to forgive those that offend me and loving them to follow Christ. This is what discipleship means, to move past our offenses and become more Christ-like, enabling our roots to go deeper and spread wider so that we are seed-bearing fruit, that when we fall to the ground or eaten by a bird, we continue to multiply into trees, that the legacy that we leave is Christ and Christ is fruitful. And that is the legacy that our kids will hold on to. I'm going to invite each one of you to be upstanding as the music team plays a worship song in the background. We're going to open up the altar for prayer. This is a prayer of reflection, but it is also the opportunity, if you've not received Christ as your Lord, Savior, and your Master, please take in that last word, that Christ is your Master. And if you want to dig your roots deeper in the house of God, if there's things that is holding you back, if you think that there is something that is not enabling you from going that step further and digging your roots deeper and spreading them wider so that they're intertwined with each other. And I want you to focus on this, that our journey as a Christian starts at the finished work of the cross. It starts in abundance, that we are abundantly filled with seeds that leads to increase. Like the psalmist says in Psalm 92, 13 and 14, planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. In old age, they will still bear fruit. Healthy and green, they will remain. And so with every eye closed and every head bowed, we're going to say this prayer, and then we're going to open up the altar so that we can pray for you. So after me, dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for the cross. And I thank you for the forgiveness. I choose this day to make you my Lord, my Savior, and my Master, to completely surrender to your will, to dig deeper and wider and connect and draw from your abundant source of love and grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Come on, church. We're going to open up the altar. And if you feel and you believe, no, if not if you feel, I'm going to ask you to make that choice. That choice to come up to the front so that we can pray together as a church. No matter what age you are, no matter what part of life or journey of life that you're on, that we can pray together so that we can build roots. We can grow roots deeper, spread them wider.